A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome, good morning, 12 minutes past 9. Beautiful morning in Johannesburg, a little bit cold this morning, but warming up later, going up to 20 degrees. Now, just to start off as usual, those unfortunately who passed away during the week, there was Lily Asserman, Faye Michaelo, Helen Ofshovitz, Juliet Kalman, Sheila Herskovitz, Jill Smith, Lawrence Katz, Nina Jacobsberg, Neil Jacobson, I'll come back to that in a few moments, and Gita Gail Gertie Reichlin, I'll also refer to that, Rochelle Cherniak, Esther Geselter, Alex Alexander Greenspan, Sarah Honovitz. Now, I haven't got the list from this morning yet. I'll try and get it a little later on and announce those as well. So just to wish the respective families a Chaim Toivim Arukim, a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. Now, I mentioned Neil Jacobson. Now, Neil Jacobson, of course, very involved with the Sydenham Shul. I remember his late parents very, very well, going back to the 1950s. They were very, and that was the late Barney and Edith Jacobson, they were very involved with the, what was then was the United Party. Remember, we had the Nationalists, the United Party, and they, Barney Jacobson was the chairman of the Dornfontein branch of the United Party, and I used to meet them very often. I was in Jeppy, they Dornfontein, as I said, and we'd all get together. We'd have the when there were elections taking place, for example, an election for a member of parliament. In those days, there was Troyville, it was known as Troyville, their constituency, and Jeppy together. We had Jaime Miller, I'm sure many of you remember him. He was an attorney, and we would get together, the two branches, the JP branch, the Dornfontein branch, organized, do all the canvassing. They were very devoted to the United Party. And I then remember when Neil was born even, it was about 50-odd years ago. I'm not sure his exact age when he was nifter last week. It's about 54, 55 years. And as I said, they were very involved with the United Party in those days, the Dornfontein branch. Then to come back to Gita, that's Gertie Reichlin, that's the mother of Hugh Reichlin. I'm sure everybody knows Hugh. Hugh is very, very well known in the community. Of course, he takes tours overseas. He's been to Lithuania, Europe, to America. He's been also to Japan, the Far East. I've had him in the studio quite a few times, and Hugh and I were very, very close together. Originally, when he started the Shtetl tours at the Biachad building, when they first opened it about 15 years ago, I helped him arrange the first function with his friend Goldstein, who then arranged a tour to Lithuania, the first tour that they took to Lithuania. So we want to, and Lou and Hugh's parents were very, very, very close to the late Rabbi Alloy, because Rabbi Alloy was very close to one of the relations, I think it was an uncle of theirs, I'm not sure, who wrote a sefer, and Rabbi Alloy gave the Haskoma for that sefer. So we want to wish Hugh and the family, also Chaim Toivim Arukim, a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. Now, this past week, last Friday, was Youth Day, and if you did listen to my program, we had Dr. Jonathan Mock in the studio and Taba Mbelenge, who was controlling, but we asked Taba to tell us all about youth and education, and he'd mentioned to us when he wrote Matric, which was 10 years ago, they only got a math teacher or only got to see the math teacher in September. In other words, 9 months down the line. That's only when they got their math teacher. So education really hasn't improved since the new dispensation. And of course, Youth Day referred to the uprising in 1976 when the youth were against the introduction of what they call bond to education. That would be the language would be Afrikaans, which they would be taught, and of course that the rest is all history. I also referred to the late Dr. Melville Edelstein, who was also very involved and who was the first white person, Jewish person, to be killed, to be murdered in 1976. Unfortunately, I was hoping it would be replayed on Sunday, but being a public holiday last Friday, the program had to be reset. I will refer to that a little later on, and we're going to take an ad break in a few moments. We'll play some music, come back, and then I want to tell you some interesting things that happened as well during the week. Taking an ad break now.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back, 22 minutes past 9. Now, tomorrow evening, the 21st of June, that's Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., at the Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center, they're going to screen an award, Academy Award nominee, Best Documentary 2010, The Most Dangerous Man in America, Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. In 1971, Daniel Ellsberg, a high-level Pentagon official and Vietnam war strategist, concludes that the war is based on decades of lies and leaks 7,000 pages of top-secret documents to the New York Times, making headlines around the world. Hailed as a hero, vilified as a traitor, and ostracized by even his closest colleagues, Ellsberg risks his life in prison to stop a war he helped plan. This is the riveting story of one man's profound crisis of conscience that shook a nation, its courts, its free press, and its presidency to the core. It is also an acutely timely and piercing look at the world of government secrecy in wartime, as revealed by the ultimate insider. Marked by a landmark Supreme Court battle between America's greatest newspapers and its president, this political thriller unravels a saga that leads directly to Watergate, Nixon's resignation, and the end of the Vietnam War. It's essential viewing in the light of current political events in the U.S. If you've not seen this before, now is your chance. That's tomorrow evening at the Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center. And you can phone Hazel or Renee on 011-728-8088 or 8378 to book. There's a donation of 80 Rand, including refreshments. And it's at the Clive Beck Auditorium, and that's corner Glenove and 4th Street, Houghton, at the, you know, the Great Park Synagogue. Now, just to mention that this has received rave reviews, and I really endorse that you should see this movie. I'll mention another one taking place next week as well. Now, this past Sunday was Father's Day. And I had a unique opportunity to witness something which is very, you know, it's, you can only see it amongst the Jewish religion. You won't see it in any other religion. And so I'll just give you a little bit of background. A gentleman, I'm not mentioning names or anything, who is a Levi. I'm sure those who know what it is, you've got the Kohen, the Levi, and the Israel is a Levi. His daughter married a Kohen. And when the daughter gave birth to a son, the son is now a Kohen. The son has already celebrated his bar mitzvah about a year ago. And I was at their home and I saw this, witnessed this, where the son, the grandson, to honor the, you know, at Father's Day, to honor the father and to honor the grandfather, he blessed his grandfather, and not using Hashem's name in the actual bracha, because you only do that when you, it's a religious service or, you know, during Yom Tovim, etc. But he did. He went up to his grandfather to bless him. Now, to witness this, you should actually go to the shul on Yom Tovim, or when they do the Birkas HaKohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim, and where you will see the following taking place. You will see the Levi washing the hands of the Kohanim, and then the Kohanim coming into the shul. They take off their shoes are taken off before they come in, and they go onto the platform, which we call the Duchen, in front of the Oran Kodesh, and they bless the congregation. So here you would see the grandfather washing the hands of his son, naturally, and of his grandson, and then both the father and the grandson coming into shul and blessing the grandfather. Now that's very unique. You don't get that in any other religion, where a grandson will bless his grandfather, that using the priestly blessing. I have witnessed this. It is something absolutely amazing, extraordinary. It's so meaningful. So in a few moments now, I'm going to play a beautiful rendition called Manzeda's Cholem, sung by Chazon Leibler Waldman. This is not a Chazonist program, but it's just to show you the beauty of honoring parents and grandparents. And of course, as I mentioned, when it was Mother's Day, every day in Judaism is Mother's Day, and I can even say that every day in Judaism is Father's Day, because it's the father who teaches the son. They sit and study together, they go to shul together, they walk together. So in a few moments we're going to play this Manzeda's Cholem. Now to mention that if you want anything announced on this program, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, engagements, wedding, brit milah, track 4, then you can please text me 34519, and please you can send me an email to isaac@chai.co.za. I've got a texture. Dear Reb Isaac, thank you for the stunning, beautiful Sim Shalom by Elton Kravitz. Take care. Look after yourself. That comes from Ellen. Thank you, Ellen, and I wish you well. I hope you're doing very well. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to play that Manzeda's Cholem by Leibler Waldman. It's a beautiful, beautiful rendition, just to honor fathers and grandfathers, and some of you may be blessed and having a great grandfather. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I played that beautiful rendition called Manzeda's Cholem, sung by Chazon Leibler Waldman. And the reason being because this past Sunday was known as Father's Day. And, of course, Grandfather's Day is also should be remembered as well. And some of you who may be blessed to have a great-grandfather. It was a beautiful rendition. The Yiddish was absolutely perfect. That was what you call a Vilna Yiddish, which you don't hear today. And I know a lot of grandchildren who can't really speak or understand Yiddish, but their parents do, and they translate when their grandparents talk to them in Yiddish. So that was a beautiful rendition. Now, just to remind you as well that on Friday morning we have Reflections of the Past between 9 and 10. Sunday afternoons we've got the Art of the Cantor between 4 and 5. And next Wednesday, that's the 28th of June at 7:30 p.m. at the Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center, there's going to be an exciting book event. Raymond Santner will be in conversation with Amelia Pontenza, the curator of the Apartheid Museum, about the reissue of his book, Inside Apartheid's Prison, runner-up for the Sunday Times Alan Payton Award in 2002. So I just want to give you a background, because this is very important, of what's going on today in our current affairs. Raymond Santner, an academic, is one of a small group of white South Africans who was imprisoned for his efforts to overthrow the apartheid regime. He was first arrested in 1975 and tortured with electric shocks because he refused to supply the information to the police. He then served 8 years because of his underground activities for the African National Congress and the South African Communist Party. After his release in 1983, he returned to the struggle and was forced to go underground to evade arrest, but was re-detained in 1986 under repeatedly renewed states of emergency for 27 months, 18 of these in solitary confinement. The book describes Santner's experience of prison in a low-key, unromantic voice, providing the texture of prison life, but unlike most struggle memoirs, it is also intensely personal. Santner is not averse to admitting his fears and anxieties. The new edition of Inside Apartheid's Prison contains an introduction where Santner describes his break with the ANC and the SACP, but he argues the reason for rupturing this connection that had been so important to his life were the same ethical reasons that had led him to join. He remains convinced that what he did was right and continues to act in accordance with those convictions. And of course, he's going to be present. Autograph books will be available for sale. It's next Wednesday, the 28th at 7:30. A donation of 90 rand, including refreshments. It's at the Clive Beck Auditorium, Rabbi Cyril Harris Community Center. And you can phone Hazel or Renee on 011-728-8088 or 8378. So that is Inside Apartheid's Prison by Raymond Santner. Now, also, do you know what is going on today in politics? It's history repeats itself. I think eventually, I may be wrong, the bubble is going to burst. And now all of a sudden, all the cabinet ministers are going to give evidence about what we call the state capture. It's evident that there's a lot of guilty conscience out there. A lot were involved. I think unknowingly or they didn't do it deliberately. We're brought into it. And this will come out. It's going to change the whole political scene in South Africa. Even the new public protector has also come out with some stunning revelations. And, of course, what's going on in PRASA and, of course, in Eskom, where the chairman of the board resigns. This is a new political dispensation going to take place. And I predicted this 5 years ago. I said that the beginning of the end of the ANC as we know it today, because unless you have leadership which is ethical and moral, you're not going to succeed. We can't become what we call another banana state like you've got going in our neighbor and next door us there, whether you're the president for life and still talking all about colonialism. And I know I'm not getting involved into that subject because it's a very hot potato at the moment. But the one legacy of colonialism, which everybody seems to forget, is that everybody participates in, and that's Parliament. Who brought Parliament to South Africa? only the colonists, the British, brought the system of parliament. And we still adopt and we work according to the Westminster system. There may have been certain changes, but we still have an upper and a lower house. So yet they are running down the colonialism. So I'm not going to go into that political side. In a few moments, we're going to take a break. And we're going to play some more music.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. Also want to now refer to those devastating fires took place in Knysna. And if you heard the news this morning, now they have problems with the water as well. But just to mention that this community, South African community, this wonderful rainbow nation, have come to the assistance of all those affected there. The donations have been unbelievable. And it's not too late still to donate. A lot of homes still have to be rebuilt. A lot of people have lost all their belongings, all their possessions. So you can contact the local NGOs if you're in Cape Town or Knysna area. You contact the Board of Deputies there, or there's the, what they call the Gift of the Givers, also in Johannesburg as well, and it'll all be sent down to Knysna to be distributed. And of course there were fires also took place in Plettenberg Bay as well. I spoke to a colleague of mine who lives in Australia, who's owns a property in Plettenberg Bay, but he said, thank God, it wasn't touched at all. It's safe and sound, but neighbors next door behind him, they lost everything as well. So please, if you still have opportunity, contact your local NGO and make that donation. And of course, look at that horrific fire that took place in London. They're still investigating what caused it. Unbelievable, over 79 people burnt to death, died in that fire. You'd think in this great city of London, and this building was only built in 1974, that they have the most modern fire extinguishers installed in a building like that. And of course they are waiting for to find out what caused the fire. So just to remind you again that if you've got anything you want me to mention, please feel free. You text SMS 34519 or send an email to isaac@gai.co.za. I'll only be too pleased to announce whether it's a Brit Milah or wedding or bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah, any function. All we want to hear is a good news. And just remind you again, on Friday we have Reflections of the Past between 9 and 10. And Sunday we've got the Art of the Cantor. And you know, I must mention about the Art of the Cantor that I have a listenership all over the world. I've got Chazonim listening in South America, Rio de Janeiro, and also in Buenos Aires. I've got people listening in Canada, even in Alaska. I've got someone in Mexico City. I've got a cousin who contacted me. And in Finland and in Ukraine and, of course, Israel, many Chazonim listen on, and in the United Kingdom and in Australia. It's unbelievable how many young people, how many people are coming back to listen to Chazonis. You may think it's going out of fashion. It's not. It's very, very popular today. And we're one of the few countries in the world where in all the big shuls, the traditional shuls, you have a chazon and a choir. We're the envy of some of those countries, and I know that in the United States as well. And you know, my program on Sunday is syndicated throughout the United States on a Monday afternoon. Don't forget that, a couple of hours behind us, so they record it and then they play it on Monday, which goes throughout the United States. So all I want to now is thank for Craig for controlling, to wish you well, to have a wonderful day, to go well, and enjoy the rest of the week.